Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Radio program on KCAA is the perfect work from home avocation in these stressful times. Just type KCAARadio.com into your browser to learn more about hosting a show on the best station in the nation, or call our CEO for details. 281-599-9800.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, 106.5 FM, and now 102.3 FM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Police in Alabama say the escaped prison inmate and the prison guard accused of helping him escape are in custody. Police said jailer Vicky White and inmate Casey White were captured in Indiana during a car pursuit and subsequent wreck. Wall Street is closing with stocks sharply lower. The S&P 500 fell below 4,000 to its lowest level in a year as big tech got hammered. The NASDAQ lost over 4%, with Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Tesla among the decliners. The White House press secretary is slamming Vladimir Putin's speech on Russia's so-called Victory Day. Jen Psaki accused Putin of running a disinformation factory to defend its brutal war against Ukraine. She again accused Russia of committing atrocities against Ukrainians.
We're seeing Russian forces commit war crimes in Ukraine as they engage in a brutal war that is causing so much suffering and needless destruction.
I'm Brian Shook.
If you're ready for a Las Vegas vacation, here's an offer you can't refuse. The Vegas Travel Center is offering 3 days and two nights in Vegas free. Just call 909-406-7400. The offer includes accommodations with two free tickets to great Las Vegas entertainment with free meals. So if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you need to jump on this right now. Just call 909-406-7400. Obviously, an offer like this is not going to last. So call now, 909-406-7400, for your three-day, two-night Vegas vacation. That number again, 909-406-7400. Call now.
Hi, I'm food critic Alan Borgen, and I'm excited to tell you about Ray's Shanghai Bistro, located next to Redlands DMV on Ligonia in Redlands. Ray's Shanghai Bistro offers the largest and most delicious array of traditional and original Chinese dishes available in the Inland Empire. Some of my favorite dishes are the house-made pot stickers, the crisp pork spare ribs with garlic, their unique spicy lamb with bamboo, the sweet and tangy deep-fried orange peel beef, and the savory basil spicy shrimp, plus lots of vegetarian dishes. Whether you dine in, pick up the food, or have them cater your next party or special occasions, you will see why Ray, spelled R-U-I apostrophe S, Shanghai Bistro, is truly the best Chinese restaurant in the Inland Empire. Their website is RaysShanghaiBistro.net. That's RaysShanghaiBistro.net. R-U-I-S, ShanghaiBistro.net. Happy eating. You won't be disappointed.
I always hear from our clients who hired another firm that they wish they'd hired DNA Financial first. Don't have regrets about your IRS tax case. Just hire the best in the first place.
One owed $150,000 to the IRS and had spent thousands on another firm. We stopped the levies, negotiated a payment plan, and had their penalties forgiven.
And while every case is different, we guarantee that we'll find your perfect resolution and get it done right.
For a free consultation, call us at 866-201-0156. That's 866-201-0156. Then you can say, DNA did right by me.
Hello, folks. Matt Rodriguez here, your best choice for L.A. County Sheriff. Personally, I can't recall a time when L.A. County was in such dire straits as it is today. With skyrocketing crime rates, low deputy morale, and a complete disconnect between Sheriff Villanueva and the community he serves, to say we deserve better is a huge understatement. If I was to summarize Alex Villanueva's term as sheriff in one word, that word would be disrespectful. That is why I'm running for LA County Sheriff, to reinstate a sense of respect back into the job. Respect for the people, law enforcement, and the rule of law. Clearly, I cannot accomplish this quest without your help. So please join me on this journey to reinstate respect back into the LA County Sheriff's Office. Go to RodriguezForSheriff.com, donate, and volunteer. It would be my honor to have you on the team. Thank you, God bless, and stay safe.
Inland Empire, are you ready for a block party? Teamsters Local 1932 is holding its third annual Spring Fling Car Show and Cruise on May 21st on the corner of 4th Street and Sierra Way in San Bernardino, starting at 10 a.m. This is a fun-filled time for the whole family. So come out and enjoy the event on Saturday, May 21st at 10 a.m.
K-C-A-A.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. It's still nothing up to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Gotta take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it. Until this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Hold you down, hold you down. You gotta get up, these are your dreams. Never give up.
What's up, team? This is Robert Porter with the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show on KCAA NBC 106.5 FM, 102.3 FM, 1050 AM, where we will talk politics, culture, and history. Today we have Councilman Fred Charette of the City of San Bernardino in the house. How you doing, Fred?
I'm fine, but I don't have quite the enthusiasm that you do.
Well,
I love San Bernardino too, and I've been here a lot longer than you have.
Yes, but, you have. You do.
But I don't have that spark and that enthusiasm you have, and I appreciate it.
That's more for the radio. But sometimes okay. I have to admit, I don't feel like that that kind of outspoken person. But like, I have to put on a show for the show, right?
I got it.
But we all do love San Bernardino, and that we'll be speaking about that in a second. But first, I'd like to mention our sponsors. I'm hoping Max Zaire will be here in the house here real quickly. Him and his wife Zoe run a Celebrities Bar and Grill on 40th Street. I just went over there for Cinco de Mayo, had some tacos. I bought some the chicken salad, and it came a little like tostada style. And then we chimichanga. So we had all three of those. Really good, but my favorite there is the steaks. I love going there and have a steak. And, you know, Max is a good guy. His wife, they get involved in everything they can possibly get their hands on. So I know he does love the community. He's trying to outreach to all the politicians as well and bring them in. So that's a good way to form a community base there. He's also goes to the non-for-profits, and I think he's working on right now they're working on Juneteenth.
Yeah.
So, and you've got business stuff going on. So, you know, we love you, Max. If you're on your way here right now, just walk right in. Yeah. And join the conversation. So I usually talk about history and have a San Bernardino history tidbit, but since I actually have living history here and someone who like, he's been in San Bernardino longer than I have. Right. Can you share a little bit of history? Share something from your high school days.
Sure, Robert. Well, I'm going to go back even a little further than that.
Okay,
maybe.
All right.
I'm going to go back a little further than that. My family's been in the valley in the city of San Bernardino since the 20s. I think it's around 1926, when my grandfather, Fred Chapin, moved his family, my mother and aunts and uncles, to San Bernardino and started a lumber company, Fred A. Chapin Lumber Company.
I wonder if my grandfather and your grandfather did business, because my grandfather came here in 1922.
All right. Yeah, what kind of business was he in? If he needed lumber, he probably did business.
They did drywall, so they may have needed...
Very possibly.
Yeah, because a lot of times old terminated wood and stuff.
And
yeah.
A lot of his lumber are in the buildings downtown. The corner of, I think it's Court and E.
San Bernardino Lumber from the hills, or was
no,
it?
No, yeah, it was Fred A. Chapin Lumber Company.
Okay.
And he's my namesake. I was named after Fred A. Chapin. He was my mother's father. So he started his business in the mid-20s, incorporated here. Moving a little bit fast forward, my father was a partner in a General Motors GMC dealership, a company that was at 280 South E Street. Does that ring a bell?
280, yeah.
That's the stadium.
Yeah.
That's the official stadium address. My dad's business was Lynn Truck and Equipment Company. They sold GMCs. And that dealership, after my dad left, it changed hands a number of times and moved out of the area. I think right now the dealership might be here in Redlands at the Buick dealer here. I can't think of the name offhand. But anyway, that dealership, he retired from that, and the business changed. And then, of course, it was torn down for the baseball stadium, and the address is 280 South E Street, and that was my dad's business.
There's another
little bit of history. And then my older brother, Denny, who unfortunately passed away unexpectedly a year ago last April.
May he rest in peace, and how about we dedicate this show to your past
family
members?
That'd be wonderful. That'd be very nice. Thank you. Great guy. He was known and loved by a whole bunch of people.
He did signs, right?
We owned a printing company.
Printing company.
But he started at San Bernardino High School in the print shop and became a linotype operator and worked for the Sun Company. My family were good friends with the original owners of the Sun Company, the Guthries, the Guthrie family. And he worked at the Sun as a machinist, in sales, and little by little, he ended up in a printing company. While I was serving in the Army, drafted in the Army.
What year was that?
It would have been 1968 and 1969, or 69 and 70, I guess.
Yeah, so that's where my father was in Vietnam.
Drafted, and I was in Vietnam for 14 months. Spent 14 months in Vietnam. After I came home from Vietnam, I went to work. There were a few things that happened, but basically I ended up married and went to work at the print shop, my brother's print shop, printing company. It was named Crown Printers. And my brother, who was working at a local printing company, Franklin Press, a large printing company, he finally came into the company. And so the three of us became partners and ran a company. It is still in existence. It was founded in 1970. So I think it's going on one of the certainly one of the older businesses in town that are still here, celebrated 32 years. I mean, 52 years, okay. I'm sorry, from 1970. So
it's weird how that last 20 years from 2000 just snuck right by us.
Oh, man, didn't it? Yeah. I used to calculate, like, how old I'd be at the turn of the century, and now I'm 22 years older than I would have been.
In the year 2000!
Yeah. Yeah, really. Party like 1999.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
So anyway, then one last little tidbit about my grandfather.
Okay.
I was elected in 2009 in a special election in the 4th Ward. My grandfather, Fred, who I'm named after, was elected in a special election in 1944 to the 4th Ward and won by 44 votes.
That's pretty cool.
So a lot of fours involved, and our names, Fred, has four letters in it. So I don't know if there's anything there, but a little history, a little tidbit.
And
I'm not in politics because of him. It wasn't a family thing. It just, kind of fell
but,
on my
But
head.
You're still a legacy.
Still a legacy. And I'm proud of my family, very proud of my family. So we've been here doing business and been engaged in this community all of my life and certainly my folks and grandfathers.
So you went to where did you go to elementary school at?
I went to Davidson Elementary School. Walked there to school from where I lived,
and
that was back in the days when we had kindergarten through sixth, and then we went to junior high, what was called junior high school then, and that was seventh, eighth, and ninth.
And what school was that?
That was Arrowview Junior High School.
Okay, all right.
And that's at the corner of, it's still there, at the corner of Highland and G.
Golden Valley Knights rule, but...
they were the competition. And then I went to San Bernardino High School in my sophomore year, 10th, 11th, and 12th at San Bernardino High School, and graduated from there in 1967.
Maybe that's why we've been rivals, because, you know, Pacific Pirates can kick some Cardinal butt. But.
Yeah. Well, my mother graduated. I said this the other night at the council meeting. We were all talking about
that was
everyone
fun.
Was starting to say where they went to high school, what their alma mater was. My mother graduated from San Bernardino High School in 1933.
So your legacy is that as well.
Yeah.
That is cool. So, where did your dad go to? Or
My dad, unfortunately, I don't know, he kind of got, I think, at that time, the equivalent of a GED because his...
So did my dad,
He took care of his mother and sister and kind of became the man of the family at age 13 when his father was killed in a horrible fiery accident out in the city of Highland. Some people came in. He had a general store and gas station, and they came in like late at night and wanted gas, and someone and a cigarette or something set off a fire, and it was a terrible accident. So my dad ended up kind of being the man of the house
early
age, at age 13. But he went to what's now the, help me, what's the other besides the California Theater? The Sturgis.
Sturgis. Yeah.
That was Sturgis. He went to Sturgis Junior High School, and I think that's where he got the equivalent of his high school education. My father...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Didn't get to go to college, but should have. He was a draftsman, an architect. He was good with numbers and good with, you know, he should have gone to high school. I mean, got a gone to college, but unfortunately didn't.
All right. So you graduated from San Bernardino High School. Did you go to Valley, or did you?
I was in and out of Valley. I was never a real great student. Mm-hmm. There were four of us, a sister and two brothers, and the three boys were horrible students. And I would go to a class, and I would be asked by the teacher, "Now, what are you going to be? Are you going to be like your brother, a bad student, or like your sister, a good student?"
And
so the three of us boys, we ended up in partners in the printing business together, and we were fairly successful, but none of us really were great students. So I did attend college, quite a bit of college, but I never finished a degree, and that's one thing I really regret.
Well, still went to San Bernardino Valley College. That's super cool.
Right. And Cal State as well. I attended classes there as well.
And you're a war veteran. You served our country.
Yeah. I served as a combat veteran.
That's equal to college education in my book.
For 14 months. Yeah. I was there for 14 months.
What did you do in the military?
I was on the
On the front
ground.
Lines, yeah.
I was on the ground.
Yeah.
Was what they called grunt. I was.
Did you get wounded or?
No, fortunately, yeah. No.
My father got wounded by a landmine.
You know, that's terrible. Yeah. And of course, people talk about they earned a Purple Heart. Well, I don't like to say earned it because that's one award you don't want.
Yeah, truly.
That's one award I respect it, and you should be recognized for your, you know, for being wounded. But that's one that you don't want to.
Yeah,
earn, and you or could, don't want.
And it's still like you're still when you're in war, you can get wounded mentally anyway. So you know it can bug you.
No, I was fortunate really to be able to come home to a family business and a loving, you know, together family.
To the all-American city,
kinda.
Yeah,
kinda. It's yes. I'm very very blessed. Very blessed with my family.
I consider myself blessed to be born in San Bernardino, even though I lived through the 90s and the 187 capital of the world years and all that stuff. But, like, after seeing that, I know San Bernardino is not as bad as then to me. So, like I still see the beauty everywhere. That's why I keep trying to tell people, hey, if you always look for the bad stuff, that's what you see, you know?
Well, and you're right, Robert, and I do appreciate your enthusiasm. I really do. And you do. You walk the walk about I love San Bernardino. Mm. And it is a great community. And I've seen it at its peak. And I've seen it kind of at its at the bottom. And I think right now we have an opportunity to bring this city back to life.
You're not cutting to the bone like you were the last 8 years. Pretty much, you had to cut to the bone.
We actually are in good shape. Yeah. You know, pretty good shape. There's never enough.
Yeah,
there's never enough.
Well, after next year, when the relief funds go away, it might be a little bit tighter.
No, our budget is strong anyway. That should be a shot in the arm, and that we should use that wisely, which I think we are. And that's a shot in the arm and something that came from the federal government.
And putting a little away in the rainy day fund.
Well, I don't think so. I think we have to spend it. I think the requirements are you have to spend it, and it is tied to various requirements. You have to spend it on certain kinds of things. You can't. I don't think you can make payroll.
I think they said they can't pave the streets with it.
But other things, and we'll use that wisely. So we've gotten half of it, about $75 million, and we've gotten half, and we've appropriated that, and then we'll get another half coming here soon, I believe.
So how do you feel about San Manuel and what they've done for our community?
San Manuel, I am fortunate that they're in the fourth ward. Of course, they're a sovereign state. Their sovereign country, but they do, their boundaries are in the fourth ward, and therefore I've been very, and I'm not going to say close to them, but I've had a good relationship with them, all the chair people that have been chairs, the government affairs people, the GMs, the general managers. I've known them all, worked with them all at one time or another, and they've been an excellent partner in our community. They have. I mean, there's people that have had some problems with them, and they are up there. And had I been councilman, I think when they were talking about their casinos, I don't think they'd be up there today. Mm-hmm. I think we could have worked with them, and no problem with the homes and on their reservation land and all that, and their property. That's fine. But we probably should have brought that casino downtown.
That would have been
and worked with them.
It would have been incredible, but it just didn't work out of the way. But in the fourth ward,
it was politics.
Is Arrowhead Springs is right up there on the thing.
Yep.
So can you tell me a little bit about how that was incorporated in San Bernardino? What was the idea behind that?
You mean how we got Arrowhead Springs?
Yeah, because it used to be county, right? And they brought it in.
Here's my understanding, and I could be corrected. This is generally correct, I believe. There are county pockets in San Bernardino. That means there's an island surrounded by the city of San Bernardino, but it's still under the county jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. You're aware of that, I assume.
Yeah,
We have about
Arrowhead Farms.
Arrowhead Farms, right. I think we had about six. And in order to annex them it has to either be smaller than a certain size or the population has to be a smaller number. Like, let me just use an example. If you've got 100, it might not qualify. If you've got 65, then it might qualify to just annex it in. Without making those requirements, it has to go before a vote of the people affected in that pocket. So they were all larger. They wouldn't qualify on size. And they wouldn't qualify on population for us to just take them.
Okay.
So it was going to have to go before a vote. And we knew, I say we, I'm talking about the city, this was before my time.
Okay.
But my understanding is that we pretty much understood that the people would not support that. they would not vote in favor to be annexed into the city.
Yeah, like Arrowhead Farms, they fought tooth and nail over that. Right. I remember that battle.
And I think what happened, and it was a big mistake, is we tried to pull a fast one on them. Mm-hmm. And we just arbitrarily cut those like into halves or something like that.
Oh.
And so now they qualify. There's not enough people, and they're not big enough in geographically.
Yeah.
And so we can just take them in. So we did, including Arrowhead Springs Hotel.
Interesting.
Now, what happened was we got sued. The city got sued and said, you can't do that. And it ended up costing us over $100,000, and they went back to where they were. The only good thing that came out of it was somehow or another we did end up keeping the Arrowhead Springs Hotel. So that's in the city. That's city property. It's property within the city.
To the first bridge in Waterman.
I don't know the exact.
And now that it's owned by the tribe, this is where I'm leading with the question. Now that it's owned by the tribe and it will eventually become part of the reservation, will Sam and Will still be considered in part of San Bernardino, like they're considered being a part of Highland? Or,
well, you know, that's a good, I don't know all the detailed answer to that, but that what has to happen with that property, it's still in the city of San Bernardino. They own it.
Yeah.
But it's still city, it's in the city. It's not part of their reservation. I believe in order for it to be part of their, there's two things or one of two things that has to happen. It has to be what's called federalized. So they'll go before the Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's a federal. There's probably a state as well. But and if anyone from the tribe is listening and I'm giving it wrong, please call me and correct me on it.
I think it's a 7 to 8 year process.
They have to. They'll have to apply for it to be federalized. Mm-hmm. Now it also might have to be contiguous. That means connected to their actual reservation. Mm-hmm. Geographically connected. I think there's ways around that. I think it will be done eventually.
Especially if they get that 25,000 acres behind there.
You've probably studied all that more than I have.
Is it possible that San Bernardino may have a casino in someday?
Well,
you know, if they have gambling there or something.
Well,
right?
We've got it. Yeah. We've got it at San Manuel.
That's true.
So we've got it. Now, what you're suggesting
is part of Highland.
Well, no, that's the city of San Bernardino.
That right there is.
That is in the city of San Bernardino. That's another problem that happened when Highland annexed, when the city of Highland became a city. They took some of, I guess, county property and turned it into the city of Highland. And there was a Highland address. Like right now, I'm living temporarily at Mountain Shadows Mobile Home Park because of a fire I had at my house, and I'm doing remodeling and rebuilding there. So I'm having to live. But that is actually a Highland address, but it's in the city of San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of places out there up behind Walmart, out on the 330, that are still a Highland address. But it's really the city of San Bernardino, and it is confusing. And the post office should have made that change.
I think I remember you talking about car taxes or something in that situation.
I should be probably more of an expert on that. But sales tax goes with the car, goes to where the person lives, I believe, not where they buy the car. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that. That was a discussion we had a few years ago.
Yeah,
but we've given up so much of our sales tax anyway.
We need the sales tax. We live off of that here.
We've given up some. I said sales tax. We've given up our property taxes in order to have a fire
county
district.
Fire department. Yeah.
And that was the only way, in my view, and I think I could be backed up on this. That was the only way that we were going to exit bankruptcy was to. That was the only department that we could really get enough bang for the buck, so to speak, and contract out and save those salaries and that.
And I originally was against it. I do for the historical reasons.
Sure.
You know, that one of the oldest fire departments. But I talked to a lot of those guys that left the fire. They're happy at the county.
Everybody's happy. Yeah. We're getting better service. And I'm always careful to say, not better personnel. The personnel are much the same guys. And we had an excellent fire department, an excellent fireman. There's no doubt about that. But they did move to the, and it's just a bigger, they've got more resources. And so I think we're getting a little better service than we had before. Not anything to do with personnel, but just to do with the organization and the way it's being operated. And it's a part of a bigger, you know, county operation.
Yeah,
and you're right.
They're huge. They're huge.
You're right. The people that fought it have finally come around and said, "Hey, this worked out fine, and it made sense." Yeah. But we did give up property taxes.
I'm glad we didn't lose the police department to that same thing. I love our police department. I love the history of it and everything, but you know, we can still preserve some of the history of our fire department, and we do in the historical society and things like that.
So that's good. We still got fire truck. It's got our logo on it and the county logo on it. It's still our fire department. I mean, they're a contract, but they serve just the city of San Bernardino.
Now we're brothers.
I think it's district number 11.
We're brothers on the Native Sons of the Golden West.
You and I are. Yeah, yes.
How do you feel about the, you know, the Native Sons of the Golden West don't own the property that over there on Date and Del Rosa.
They don't.
It's some owned of the by guys a own separate it. Company, yeah. right? Yeah. yeah. So like it's being sold. How do you feel about the move? And you know, I think we'll be okay if we go to the Historical Society or wherever.
Is that what you're? I haven't heard where you're going. I'm not real active with that organization. I've always tried to keep my membership up. But I'm not real active. Of course, I know Jim Smith.
I'm at the same thing. I occasionally go for a vote here or there.
And, of course, I hear about it from Jim Smith a lot.
Very dedicated member, that's for sure.
But I don't have a real opinion on that.
It's sad to lose the hall. For me, it's a little sad. And you know, my main worry is about the cannon and the bell. You know, and it looks like hopefully –
You're going to be able to keep that? I mean, I would think they would be able to keep that.
Well, yeah, I think
move it to the historical.
Yeah, that's probably the best place for it, and I think we'll look good over there.
Sure.
So, you know, it's all working out, and I do find a lot with these fraternal organizations.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, "What's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?"
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That they're dying. Like so, we need to join forces and help each other.
They are. I was at a Rotary Club meeting the other day. That's called the Downtown Rotary. Well, they were actually meeting at the Elks Club, which isn't downtown. And I was a member of that club back in probably in the 80s, and it met downtown on I think Wednesdays for lunch, Tuesdays for lunch, and there were 125. Business people that would show up.
Interesting.
Businessmen in that case.
Is it same with the Elks too, or
Elks was a bigger organization too. I joined it very briefly, but never stayed on.
Yeah. I've never joined that one.
Rotary. We did that kind of to honor my father, and they built that new at the time. It was that big, beautiful building up on the hill, Paris Hill, nice building. And so my two brothers and my dad and I were all sworn in together one night.
Well, that's cool.
And we did that. And then little by little, my brothers and I dropped out. We stopped being a member.
It's hard to do everything.
But my mother, even after my father passed away, kept the membership. And so she was an Elk,
And Peggy's still up there. Our gold meetings are there for Inland Empire Prospectors and Miners. So we go up there, and I bring my mom up to eat dinner.
I go up there.
Beautiful view.
I haven't recently because I've been busy with the campaigning, but our car club, the Over the Hill Gang, meets up there on, I think it's the second and fourth Tuesdays.
My neighbor, Mr. Sullivan's heavily involved in that.
Yeah. What's his last name? Our first name?
I always just call him Mr. Sullivan. Maybe is it Robert? I don't know. I always call him Mr. Sullivan.
One of the members of the club?
Yeah.
I don't know them all.
He used to have that small little red car. It looked like a PT Cruiser almost.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's some good people up there.
Yeah.
But that, and then again, like, a lot of our membership is getting in their upper years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say about this Rotary Club is when I was back, like I say, in the 80s, early business career, I joined Rotary because it's a business opportunity. You network and you meet people. And there were 100, 125 people that would show up for lunch. And it was very, and I stayed a member for 3 years, but I was busy with the business and growing a business, and I just didn't have the time. So I gave that up. And this club that I had lunch with the other day, I was invited by Jim Smith to join him for lunch. There was only about 12 people there. And I felt bad. I don't know if I should be saying that publicly, but,
I went there and did a presentation for Legends of the Arrowhead book I wrote, and I kind of felt the same way, that it was their core members, Tim Prince,
yeah,
and Tanya, and, you know,
right, yep,
and like,
and but, Judy Penman was there, yeah, and
but team,
and,
if you want these to stay alive, you got to join them.
Yeah,
right?
You do. You've got to. Yeah, and that's, I'm at fault. You know, yeah. I wasn't real active. I'd join and I'd be there and I'd, you know, participate, but I probably didn't take a leadership role. Not like I have with the city.
It's hard to run those things. And Tim Prince is currently the president, right, of the Native Sons, and works his butt off, I'm, yeah, sure, right now. Yeah. The general manager here, Mark Westwood, he was the president last time.
Uh-huh.
So people still get involved, but we need new blood. That's,
well,
for
sure. You know, that's another thing, kind of getting back to city operations and city things. You know, we've got, I don't know how many, we got 30 or 35 or maybe more neighborhood association groups.
I think there were 60,
okay,
different,
maybe,
ones. Yeah.
There may have been at one, yeah, time. And I think there's only about 25 or 30 that are active now.
I'm president.
You're
of
president
the,
of one.
Of the Valencia one, yeah. And we finally got the okay. We're actually going to not join, but have the meeting with the Parasail Park.
Kind of merge,
yeah,
them?
Yeah, at the Denny's, so we,
okay,
can, like,
get a bigger group.
Yeah,
because
it's hard.
There's a lot of, and I'm one, mm-hmm, so I can say this, seniors that show up and come to these, and they're retired.
Are people. You one of those squeaky wheels?
I don't know what that means. Exactly.
Well, no, it's like, a lot of the people come and they just complain. And
I probably complain, but I don't do it publicly. Just, you know, okay. You need to get to the young people that have, but they're busy. They've got little league, they got soccer, they're raising family, they're getting kids to bed and to dinner and what have you. And so it's really hard, but we really need engagement. And every time I go to one of those meetings, and I try to attend at least all the ones that are in the fourth ward, you mentioned Doug Wheeler. He's,
yeah,
got one, and I think it's coming up the 16th or 17th of this month, and I'll be joining them. But it's generally older people, maybe retired people, and we need them. We need, don't get me wrong. But we really need to get to the young people, our younger up and comings, and the families, and
that's
kind
of
hard to do. It's hard to do.
That's where I Love San Bernardino is at 40,000 community members now, and most of them are from our area.
Yeah.
So I try to feed them the information that I get, because they might have time to look at 11 o'clock at their phone, but they don't have time to go to the meeting.
Right.
When it's during the day, so
right.
I kind of feel both ways, but I still say, please make some time for some of these groups. And if you can't make time for them, make time for our museums.
Yep.
Take the kids to the Orange Show. Did you get to go to this Orange Show?
No, I went down for the opening. I don't consider myself a VIP, but I went to a VIP thing they had for the opening, yeah.
You're,
so I was down there.
You're a VIP. You're for sure a VIP in this city, especially a legacy councilman, you know. So I consider you a VIP. But like,
well, I appreciate that.
That it's changed a little bit. They don't have the cheese on a stick, but the management over there really wants to make it community orientated, and maybe someday we'll get to that 200,000 people that used to come back in the old days.
Well,
right?
Robert, there's another little piece of history that I have in my past. That was the orange show, and it was a citrus show. Mm-hmm. And it really was a citrus show.
There was oranges and lemons and everything everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were displays in those big buildings of packing companies and people that grew. And my uncle, I grew up, do you know where Triangle, well, it's not called Triangle anymore, but the rock company on Highland Avenue, way out almost to the bench, yep. That used to be called Triangle. I still think of it as Triangle Rock and Gravel. Mm-hmm. But I think it's now it's probably the Robert Center or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But right across the street, now a freeway, right across the freeway, but right across Highland Avenue, my uncle owned that property there, and it was an orange grove. And I grew up in the orange groves out there kind of between Muskoy and Rialto on the bench there, and played in the orange groves. And he was a orange grower that was a part of, I believe, Sunkist. And I had a supply of oranges and grapefruits.
Yeah, that whole area, whole yeah. I did an archaeological survey there when I was an archaeologist in that area, and you still saw remnants of the old smudge pots and things all along
was,
that area.
You brought up something. A lot of people don't know what a smudge pot is. Mm-hmm. And I did smudging. I did smudging when I was in high school.
Lit the diesel in there.
Yep. And I was walking yesterday on my campaign and knocking on doors, and I went by a house. I don't think they were home because I wanted to comment. They had four smudge pots in their front yard that had been painted. They were decoratively painted. And most people don't know what a smudge pot is, or if I said I did smudging, they'd wonder what I meant. But you know.
Well, yeah, nowadays they actually put sprinklers on it, and it protects the trees better to have that layer of ice on
it. Well, you know, my uncle, another innovative thing that he did, you know, there used to be what was called the wind machine in there, and it would come on at a certain time, and it would stir up the air because air kept it would get the cold air warmed back up. Mm-hmm. And that's when you'd see those big one, it was one propeller, and it would just go like that. It's in the middle of a grove.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he figured out that if they can do it with that, then why not a helicopter? So he hired a helicopter
to blow the
to fly over the low level over the grove and show up. And he put me out of a job, out of a smudging job.
Yeah, probably not good to breathe in those diesel fumes anyway. It's pretty carcinogenic.
No, he innovated that.
That's pretty interesting.
And figured out. So
I'm a big time citrus grower at my house. So we have many different varieties.
Well, we grew up with free citrus because I had as much as I could ever eat.
I love pulling them off the tree.
Yep. Well, I got in trouble in those groves a lot. Two cousins and my brother and I, we were in trouble with my uncle most of the time for doing what little kids do, getting in trouble.
All right, I did the same thing that I did to Mr. Pem, and I got so hooked up on the history that
we've missed the meat.
What do you want to do if you get reelected? Do you have any plans for?
Well, Robert, they're not like huge plans. I want to keep the momentum going. I think the important thing about getting me and though I'm really not officially endorsing anybody, but I think that. I don't want to see three new council members. Mm-hmm. I've been there for 13 years, and I've seen change. I've been through about 35, I think I counted, council members. I've been through 9 or 10 city managers. I've been through department heads like you wouldn't believe. I've been through a charter. I've been through city attorneys. I've been through all these people. And what I think San Bernardino is lacking and what we need to do going forward is we've got some momentum going now with us exiting bankruptcy, with the downtown being redeveloped, with some other things that are happening. We're getting better. Our finances are in better shape. And I think it's important that we have a consistency and a kind of a stability on the council where we can learn to work together and work as a team, not change. I mean, we've got three council members that are just have a little over a year under their belt.
And it's always a turnover in those wards.
And we got three council members that have over 3 years, but not 4 or 5 or 10. And so none of us have been working that long together. And then again, we've got...
And you've had a couple of unanimous votes up there. I've seen them.
And I've said this from the dais. Maybe, I don't know if I've said it from the dais, but I've told people this, and I mean it. I have never in my 13 years felt as comfortable picking up the phone and calling any one of my six colleagues. And there were times when I would do anything to not pick up the phone and talk to somebody. We were, it was just not good. There were factions.
I think you're the only one that don't have their phone number to do that. And I feel the exact same way. I feel like I like that there's two sides, but they're willing to compromise. Right?
Yeah.
There's some things that they just will never compromise on, but some things right. they will if it's good for San Bernardino.
Right.
And that's what I think is positive up there.
And the other thing that I've talked about that I think is very important, and we haven't had it since Mayor Valdivia has been on board, and I think he kind of was the one that didn't want to do it, and we were talking about it before that election when he became mayor, which is 3 years ago, having a workshop of the elected body and staff and do some assessing of how we work together and some training and some team building. And we haven't had that. And so the possibility is that December 19th or whenever the election changes, there could be three brand new council members on there. So we'll have three with 2 years in. We'll have three with none in, and we'll have three with 4 years in.
Start all
and
over.
And three brand new ones. I mean, no, I take that back. We'll have three brand new ones. We'll have one that has about 3 years, and we'll have three that have 2 years. So 2 years, one with 3 years, and three brand new. And I just think that's a problem.
One of my favorite council members up there, Mr. Juan Figueroa, and he'll be listening. He listens to every show.
Does he? Hi, Juan.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yes, he is.
I love how he does it. He's conservative. He's quiet but outspoken when necessary. Right. And he really studies all this stuff.
Yeah. And he does.
Yeah. And I have... same thing with Sandra. I think it's happening with everyone. They're learning to fit their spot. But you're right. If it's like Benito Barrios, he comes in and he's gone.
Right.
Like, so now all that experience is just...
Right. Right.
But there's powers that be that would like to see those seats change.
So that's one thing that I'd like to see. Yeah, sure. It's called an election, and it happens every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see us stay together as a team. And learn how to work. Now, I've never believed that. First of all, of course, everyone should know this, we're nonpartisan. So we all should be about what's good for the community. And what's good for the 6th Ward is good for the downtown. And what's good for the downtown is good for the 4th Ward. And we all work together. So though I represent the 4th Ward, which is about 31 or 32,000 people, my first thought is the big picture. And if I'm going to take a look at, is it more valuable to put my efforts and give my support to the downtown and maybe let the 4th Ward kind of not suffer, but maybe kind of take a back seat for, because that might be a bigger impact in the end. The result might be better. So I like to try to look
especially
at...
especially on deferred items like yeah. the sewer or water or
right.
whatever. Yeah,
I like to look at what's good for the community. And developing that downtown is going to be good for this community. It's going to be good for everybody.
And I do tell people the older parts of our community actually paid to have the North End built up, right? And they have older systems, so they do need... Right. A right. little love.
There's some nice housing projects going on in the 4th Ward that are upper scale. We need to be able to attract people to buy those homes, get them built and buy them. We want people there with disposable income and higher income, and they will come because...
Maybe local police officers and firemen?
Well, you can't do that. Yeah, we can encourage it.
I was talking to some younger police officers at the plant sale the other day, and some explorers, and they would love the opportunity to have a down payment on a home or something, and locally, so they could, really set their roots here. So there used to be programs like that in the past. I don't know if the state still has some stuff.
I don't know what's available.
You can't require them to live here, but it sure would be nice to have them living here. Right. You know, now a lot more are a lot of the new police officers are living in our area. So
we've got affordable housing here. And even some of the more upscale that's going on out here in Spring Trails that you probably aren't supportive of, but it's a good development. It's going to be upscale stuff. The one that's going out on across the 330 that's called Highland Hills, that's 500 units. Those are going to be more upscale.
I would much rather see a residential dwelling than a giant big box warehouse, personally.
Right, and certainly. Depending upon where.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except near the airport. Like
the airport is ideal.
That's great.
Did you see that?
Have you driven by it? It's getting
I'm
huge.
On the board out there. I'm on the board out there. So I know what's going on with IBDA and with Sabia. There again, there's something else. My experience and my history and my, what's the term you usually use? The, not history, but... my knowledge of what we've done, that adds to the party, you know. It brings something to the table.
Yeah, because if you've seen, like...
Because I've been on that board, airport, and I know what's going on. I know the players. I know the people.
And you've seen what's happened in the past, so you don't make the same mistakes.
Right.
Yes, and I see that happen all the time in city council. After being there 8 years and watching you all, I've seen what happens and what works and what doesn't. So when people come in and they want change, but it's too late in the process to create, I feel so bad.
They might want change that they don't understand what this change, how it might affect something we've already done.
Yep.
And you've got to look at the result. You've got to be able to look at, you know what? Let me pull something out of my pocket here for you.
Oh, buddy, what has he got?
I'm not a member of Rotary anymore, but I carry this coin with me, and it's called the four-way test of Rotary, and they live by this. And this is really what, if the world lived by this, we'd be in great shape. And it says the four-way test of the things we think, say, or do, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships, and will it be beneficial to all concerned? So it's a four-way test that the Rotarians...
You could build any community on that.
You could build anything on that.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of looking at the big picture and the big part, you know, the whole... You know, it's not a individual or a special interest group, but what's good for everybody. So, and that's not always easy to do. I get it.
So what's good for everybody? So that's a good segue into the last segment here will be, what do you see in San Bernardino's future?
Well, again, I think the downtown development is critical to our future.
You're going to see some boats on the river going right down through there? Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be cool, sure.
Like something like San Antonio?
Yeah, that'd be great. But that's critical to our future. Then, of course, partnering. I think one of the biggest things that we need to do that we're not doing well enough is partner with other entities.
Like
the
county.
Like
Cal
State.
Homelessness and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. The homeless issue, that's a really tough one.
Yeah, there is no real answer. I've heard several different explanations on how to fix it, but, I've heard all of them before.
Well,
so,
it really is going to take... effort from the feds and the state.
I agree.
And the state and the county.
It's big money.
It's our problem because it's here and we live with it and we want to be a part of the solution. But the wherewithal and the resources are going to come from higher up. And we've just got to be...
In the law to back you up, too.
Right, yeah.
Because I see, the police, sometimes it feels like their hands are tied.
Well, they are. Yeah, yeah. They are, but they also... That's a kind of a social issue, and police shouldn't be dealing with that.
Yeah, that's why you have your counselors right there with you, your mental health experts, or maybe even police officers that are mental health experts. Right?
Well, and I'm not a big supporter of Newsom, but I understand that Newsom has come up with what's called something to do with kind of a homeless court. And what it's going to do if it gets passed, and I don't know that it's going to, but it's a good idea or at least worth looking at. It's going to give law enforcement the ability to bring people into court and force them I don't like that word force, but essentially they're going to have to get help.
Yeah,
because some people about 30%,
some people don't.
About almost 40% or more maybe is either drug addicted or mentally.
The worst case scenario is both at the same time.
And both. Right.
Now,
those people,
the other ones have probably been helped or they're on their way to help.
And then there's another big percentage, 20 to 25%, that are formerly incarcerated. And so they have their issues too. Mm-hmm. And they come out, and if they don't have a place to go, so we're going to need help from the state and the county to deal with these things.
I see like a hospital type atmosphere, you know, big, huge building where they can rent these little things out for people.
And again, there's been some comments made that we should take over some buildings downtown and put them in there. Now, I don't really support that idea without really looking at it.
How are we going to do the hotel? What's the
future
of that?
First of all, we don't
hotel?
Own the property. Second of all, we're not going to take it through eminent domain. And third of all, who's going to run the thing? Who's going to do that?
That's the federal dollars, but you've got me like what about that hotel downtown?
Oh,
like what could we do with that?
There's been talk of, believe it or not, and I didn't know this. I've been told that senior housing and college kids get along really well.
Interesting.
So that could be turned into maybe some senior housing and as well as some college housing. And, of course, with across the street, we're going to have entertainment and retail and some shops.
So who owns that now?
I'm not certain exactly who owns it. It's a foreigner. It's from out of the country.
Is it from Spain or
No, that's the Harris Company.
United Arab Emirates.
This is, And that's a discussion we need to get on the table and start talking about.
Yeah, because I remember Virginia Marquez went somewhere to try to get that.
That was over the Harris Company.
Oh, was it? Okay.
And that unfortunately failed. That trip was not.
Didn't work. Huh?
Didn't end up with any results, positive results.
Are you heading to the United Arab Emirates to go talk to this guy?
No, I'm not anytime soon. I had some ideas on who should go, and I had some ideas on who should go to Spain to talk to. That's a company called El Cortez Inglés, and they're the fourth largest retailer in the world, and they're based in Spain. And they had the Harris Company when it was Gottschalk's. They ended up buying that. Another piece of history.
Yeah, a lot of history.
My grandmother on my father's side worked for Leslie Harris at the Harris Company.
Whoa.
So I mean, that goes
That
back.
Was the place to work and to be back in the day.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the future. I see the future good. But it's going to take some real work and some real working together and working for the right reasons. And it can't be about special interests or my ward, your ward. It's got to be about all of us working together for the good of the community. And that's what I've tried to do for 13 years.
To push that when I do speak with those in the know. I say, hey, compromise. It lasts longer than just doing it one way or the other, because then the next team gets in there and changes it if it's not a compromise position.
And again, knowing what is really in our wheelhouse. I mean, there's some things been brought forward that I don't really think are in our wheelhouse that maybe we shouldn't be. We're talking about some things that maybe we should be focusing more on some things that are more local and more problematic than trying to fix wages or fix inflation or fix things that really are kind of a little higher up the ladder or we don't have that much of an impact on, or what we can do won't have an impact on it, you know. So it's like throwing a drop of water into the ocean. It's not going to have an impact.
And that's how it often feels with the unsheltered issue and things like that.
And so we need to be working together and coming up with these ideas and solutions and focus on a few at a time. And you know the old state, you know, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. And we need to take this elephant called City of San Bernardino and start working on it one bite at a time and bring it back to life, which I think we can do. And I think there's a possibility. I think we will.
And I have seen improvement since the bone cutting days of, there's been some a little bit more, like especially with accepting cannabis and things like that.
Right.
It's been a little bit more liberal in for being conservative and allowing that kind of stuff. That's good to me. I think all that stuff's positive. Now there's stuff that liberals can learn from conservatives as well.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about me and a conservative and the cannabis thing, I think the biggest mistake is what's going on at the federal level. And I think it's here to stay, like it or not. I'm not going to endorse it, or it's here. It's a business, and
I don't even smoke anymore. I just want the money not to go to the gangbangers.
It's
going to
be here. And so why not take advantage of it? I mean, it's kind of like alcohol and prohibition, and that didn't work.
It didn't work, yes.
And the federal government, in my view, needs to take it off the Schedule One list and let the states deal with it, like we are.
And you can actually counsel people and let them know what's bad and good about everything. Right. I think you should be able to make the decision for yourself. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Mr. Charette.
I made it.
And
you
made it through, and it was a great interview. And I want everyone to please stay tuned for ATL. They're coming on next. They're talking spirituality. They're talking about community. They're talking about all the current stuff that's going on in your hoods. In our city. So please stay here and listen to their great show. And thank you, Mr. Rett,
Robert,
for coming on here.
Robert, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate it.
We've been on the opposite end of a lot of things, but I don't mind talking history.
We've never not been cordial.
Yep.
Because
we both love San Bernardino.
Had animosity toward one another.
Yeah.
We just didn't agree. And we don't always, and we won't. But
and that makes for better politics anyway.
I think you need to have good, lively debate and discussion. And
well, I appreciate you coming on, and good luck in your race. And
thank you very much.
This is Robert Porter with Councilman Fred Charette from the 4th Ward of San Bernardino, running for the 4th Ward. And this is the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show, and we are out of here, Eric!
I'm walking and talking, living the blues. I'm a blues loving man, from my soul into your hands. Music makes you wanna dance. I'm a blues loving man.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The corrections officer that helped an Alabama inmate escape.